Folks, if you'll open your Bibles up to Philippians chapter 3, that's where we're going to launch from this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given me, given each of us, Lord. Father, we don't count it as a simple trifle thing, Father God, but it is a major thing, Father, whenever you speak to us out of your word. Father, it is an opportunity, Lord, that we will not pass up today. We'll take full advantage of it. Father, but we need your anointing upon our lives, Father. We need your anointing on this word, Father, as it goes forth with power, and Father, that it might ultimately change us. And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we are fixing to turn the page to 2019. I'm just curious, so how many of you that are above 50 years old right now, you didn't think you were going to live to 2019? Raise your hand. Yes, I have. I thought by the time people got to be 50, you know, that they would be dead already. And it doesn't seem that way now that I'm past that 50 barrier. But nevertheless, 2019, back in 1979, whenever I graduated, it just seemed so far off, seemed so distant. I just thought we'd never get there. But we are at 2019, folks. And this morning, I believe that the Lord has a word for us. What he's been speaking to my heart as I've been praying over 2019 is that I believe he's got a new season for us. I believe this not only for Trinity Assembly, but I believe as the body of Christ as a whole, God is going to be moving us into a new season. I like the change of seasons. It was just a few days ago, my wife looked at the calendar and she said, guess what? Spring is almost here. And it was on December the 21st, the first day of winter. And I said, spring is not almost here. She said, well, what's the next season that's coming? I said, spring. She said, it's almost here. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I'm not real thrilled about winter whenever it comes. I know there's a purpose for it and all of those things. But I just simply don't like cold weather. I like it to be kind of lukewarm. I don't like Florida hot. I don't like, Michigan cold. I just kind of like lukewarm. I like our weather here, but I'm looking forward to spring. Spring always brings out the beautiful flowers. It brings out the green leaves. Spring is just a wonderful season, and I'm believing that God is moving us into that type of season. How many of you all know that there's a season for everything? Amen. Folks, this morning, I want to talk to you about something that has already taken place in your life, and that is your past. All of us in this room have a past. Many of us enjoying remembering our past, and some of us really enjoy talking about our past. Some people really, really like to talk about their past over and over and over again. I'm guilty. There's a lot of things in my past that are very important to me. There's probably a lot of things in y'all's past that are important to you. Our past and remembering really kind of makes us who we are today. Our past and what we are as a church is very important. Our past as a body of Christ is a very vital part of who we are. As a congregation, we really need to remember our past. We remember all the contributions that have taken place, the lives that have come before us, not only as Trinity Assembly, but as the Assemblies of God as a whole. Our congregation is the result of these foundations, if you would, that were laid. Our church history is vital to the present as who we are as a body of Christ. So, a little bit about my own past. Are y'all ready for this? I'm going to kind of be honest with y'all. I'm going to kind of put it all out there. I'd appreciate you not sending any of this to our district superintendent, but I'm just going to be honest. I have littered the past with mistakes, bad decisions, blunders, missteps, oversights, bloopers, errors, and the list goes on. Anybody understand that? I've shed a lot of tears because of those things aforementioned. I've actually had other people shed tears because of stupid stuff I've done. I know that I'm probably all by myself, but nevertheless, I'm being honest with you. As much as I like to recall the joys and the victories of the past, I also have to remember the failures which really mark up my journey. One failure in particular, whenever I first got born again, I had a 1979 Ford four-wheel drive pickup. It was kind of the joy of every vehicle that I've ever owned, kind of all culminated in that one vehicle. It's the first new vehicle I'd ever bought in my life, and it was important to me. I got married and got saved, and we were going along just fine until Renee did something really stupid. And I got really mad. And I just happened to be going somewhere, and so as I left the house, I slammed the door really hard, went out, got in my pickup, and I was so mad that I slugged the dashboard of the pickup really hard. And it just mashed up all of the vinyl and foam and everything. Just a... Well, I went on and did what I had to do, but you know, for the duration of my owning that pickup, I had to look at that dashboard every time I got in it and think to myself, man, my wife is really stupid. Maybe not. I don't know. No, that's not what I thought. I never once got in that pickup and thought anything about Renee. I thought about myself and how I had what was it, an error, a misstep, a bad decision, a blunder. Yeah, I had did that. I'd slugged that dashboard. But folks, the thing that we all have to understand is we've all got those instances in our lives. Whenever we start remembering our past, there's things that come up. There's hurts. There's difficulties that we faced in the past. There's all kinds of things that mark up our journey. But now here's what this whole message is about this morning. Our past is really not the problem. The problem comes whenever the events of our past begin to affect or control our future. Y'all there with me? You see, whenever the events of our past begin to control us, they begin to affect what it is that God has for us. And I'll be very honest with you this morning. I prophesy over this whole body of believers that God is moving us into a new season. A prophetic word from God that He is moving us as families, as individuals, as a body of Christ into a new season, a season of blessing, a season where His hand is going to be poured out upon us. That all of the things that He has stored up for us, we are going to be recipients of that. I believe that. But I can tell you this, our past can control how much blessing that God is able to pour out on us. You see, whenever that past begins to affect our moving forward with Jesus Christ, that's where the problem comes in. See, whenever it causes us, it controls us, and it causes us to not be able to move forward in the way that God wants us to, we can miss the blessings of God. We can miss the purpose that God has for our lives. You see, how much pain and how much suffering is caused by our past controlling us. It took me years to get over some of the things in my past. Some of the things that I had experienced as a child, as a teenager, some of the mistakes that I made, some of the blunders, some of the bloopers, some of the errors that I walked through, it took me years to be able to come to grips with them and say, man, that God doesn't hold them against me anymore, that He forgave them, that it's all gone. It's under the blood of Jesus. Now, there's two kinds of events that you and I have experienced in our past. There are things that are out of our control that happen to us. Talked with a young man a few minutes ago, and something out of control happened to him. His third wreck in just a few years. Him and his, myself and his dad has not as many wrecks as he's had since he's been a teenager. Shame on him, shame on him, shame on him. I won't mention his name, but he knows who he is. It was out of his control. He was sitting still. Somebody banged into him. Those things that are out of our control, things that we don't see coming, but still they're out of our control. But there's the other kind of thing, and it's what really marks up my story. It's what marks up my journey, and it's consequences for our mistakes. It's the consequences for our bad decisions. Anybody ever had a bad decision that you paid some consequences for? Yeah, I got a bruise right here on my belly this morning because I cut something on the table saw I shouldn't have cut the way I cut it. And that blade kicked that thing back at me 95 miles. I haven't even told my wife yet, but it's there. And you know the thing is, right before I cut it, I thought to myself, it's going to kick back and hit me. I thought, no biggie, I'm made out of steel. Turns out it's flesh. Consequences for our bloopers, our bad decisions. It's consequences for our blunders and our missteps and our oversights and our errors. It's consequences for our wrong decisions and our mistakes. Our consequences for our stupidity or our laziness. It boils down to this. There's consequences for our sins. You see, if we don't deal with our past biblically, I believe this. There is a huge possibility that we will be robbed of the blessings that God has for our lives. Because God wants to do more in our lives. Let me just say that a couple of more times. God wants to do more in our lives than He's doing right now. God wants to do more in our lives than He's doing right now. God, there's more, folks. I'm telling you, God is not up there running on empty. God is not up there saying, man, I poured out everything I've got. He has something more for every one of us. He's got greater blessing. He's got greater depth that He wants to bring us to in Himself. He's got greater peace. He's got greater joy. He's got greater everything that He wants to take us to. And you may think, well, I've plateaued. God has something better that He wants to bring you for. There's more. See, the very reason why we're saved is for God's purposes, for to glorify Him and to enjoy Him and to enjoy all the things that He has for us forever and ever and ever. Amen. Folks, I've come to the conclusion that I worry about a lot of things that don't matter. Seriously, I worry about a lot of things that don't matter. You see, if you worry about anything that's happened in the past, you got to understand that doesn't matter. Because no matter how much you worry about it, even if you're a professional worrier, you've got a card in your back pocket that you've gone to some kind of club and you are a professional worrier. Are y'all there with me? I mean, you may even get paid to worry because you're that good. You can worry about anything that's happened in the past, and it will do you absolutely no good because you can't change the past. You can't do one thing about those things that you're worrying about. They're done. They're in the book. They're finished. But how often do we worry about things of the past? You ever say something stupid to somebody and then you meet up with them later? You go, man, I'm really worried. They're just going to be so mad. I worry. This past holiday probably proves that to a few of you because maybe there was a family situation that happened years ago, you know, and you got back together and, you know, you're worried. I'm so worried. Just worried how it's going to go. Do you realize you're absolutely doing no good for anybody by worrying about the past? Are y'all there with me? You can't change anything. You can't do anything about it. It's done. But yet we spend so much of our time worrying about things of the past. Folks, we have to start moving away from our past. Moving away from things that have controlled us, controlled our todays, controlled our tomorrows. Listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say here. This is Philippians chapter 3. I want to skip all the way over to verse number 7. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's quite a bit in here, but I want to go ahead and read it. Some of it doesn't pertain to today, but it's just awesome Scripture. Philippians 3:7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, the Apostle Paul tells us here in verse number 13, he says, listen, I will not tell you that I have apprehended everything. The Apostle Paul was perhaps the most intelligent man that ever penned any book of the Bible. Paul was a super intellect. He knew a lot of things, but yet he says here, I don't tell you I've apprehended everything, but he said, there's one thing I've caught on to, and I've caught on to it good. Amen? Does that make sense? I mean, there's a lot of things in our lives we don't know anything about. You probably don't know anything about brain surgery, but yet there are a few things that you know about. Amen? Paul says, guys, I don't know everything, but one thing I will tell you I know, and I know it well. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things that are ahead. The Apostle Paul is saying to us, forget the past. And Paul had a past. How many times do you think that he was preaching to those individuals and the various communities that he preached in, and he looked out and there in the audience was someone who he persecuted the families that belonged to those individuals? Perhaps children there that their moms and dads were sentenced to death through the Apostle Paul's workings. Are y'all there with me? But yet, in all of that, the Apostle Paul, with his zealous pursuit of anyone who followed Jesus to bring them to some kind of justice, whether they were in prison, whether they were beheaded, whatever the punishment might be. You see, the Apostle Paul, he says, I had to put it behind me because I'm pressing forward to a mark. So how does someone come to a place where our past events no longer affect, no longer control as we move forward? How do you do it? The first thing that I believe you have to have is determination. You got to be determined. You got to say, listen, if I'm going to walk into this new season, indeed, if Jesus has this new season for me, and there's something so good, so wonderful there waiting on me. There's a blessing that he has in his hands that he wants to give to me. But yet my past, those things, those blunders, those errors, those things that are lacks of judgment on my behalf, those times where I have willingly sinned against him, those things, how do I keep those things from controlling me as I walk into the blessing that God has for me? You have to be determined. You have to be determined to move into this new season. I believe that the Lord has this new season for all of us, but it's my concern that I might not move into this new season. Because folks, I have to tell you, I believe that it's determined by each one of us how much blessing God pours out on us. I believe many times it's in our hands. By faith we receive. And I have a concern that I might not be able to move into this new season because I allow the past to control me. I allow the past to affect me in my moving forward. I really believe that there could even be a possibility that it could cause this ministry not to be able to move forward as God wants to move us forward. Folks, I promise you this. I know that this building was not designed by God to have as many empty pews in it as we have. It was designed to be running over. Come on. And so if that new season is us being able to reach into this community and bring in a harvest, you see, can our past affect us? Can our past control us? Well, of course it can. Well, we've never had anything like that at Trinity before. Well, you know, we tried that and it didn't work. We tried this and it didn't work. So I don't think we have it in us. So that's letting your past control you. But is there a season? Is there this newness that God wants us to come into? Folks, we have to be determined. I'm going to have what I believe God wants us to have. I want to move into this new season. Paul kind of lays it out there. He says, but one thing I do. One thing. What one thing? He says, forget the past. Quit letting past events affect or control us as we move forward. Determined to do this one thing. Sometimes I am relatively good at multitasking, but that's if I'm only doing two tasks at once. And again, that's like walking and chewing gum. I can do that. I don't chew gum though, so I suck on Tic Tacs. So I can walk and suck on a Tic Tac at the same time. Anybody there with me? But I'm going to tell you something, ladies. I don't know how you do it sometimes. You multitask and you're doing 48 things at one time. And I mean, and you're doing them well. And I'm sitting there going, okay, never mind. Well, God's not calling us to multitask in this. He's just calling us to be determined to do it and to do this one thing right. Determination. I am going to move past these things that have controlled me. These things that have stopped me from moving forward. One thing. This one thing. I am determined to do it. We must channel in our lives this one thing. And I promise you folks, I can boil this one thing down. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I think sometimes instead of that one thing, we're dabbling in 300 things. We have to make a decision. We have to pick our direction. It's one of two ways. We can either go backward or forward, because I don't believe there's any kind of static in the Christian world today. I don't believe you can just be neutral. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. I don't believe, children of God, we're built with a neutral button. Amen? I think you're either going forward or going backwards. And so you got to make a decision. Are you going to allow your past to control your future? Are you going to allow your past to drag you back and say, no, you know, we can't do that here at Trinity because we proved it over and over and over. We can't fill these pews up. No, no, no. Folks, I got to tell you, I'm not going to allow my past to drag me backwards. I choose to go forward. And the direction going forward is to get all that Jesus has for my life. Several years ago, we had a young man that flew into Washington, D.C. He was trying to get to Winston-Salem, but the plane was canceled, but he had to get there for the next morning. And so he rode in a cab from Washington, D.C. to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I believe the cab driver's name was Ahmed, literally. Spoke very little English. He was from Syria, I think it was. And so the overnight cab trip was, you know, several hundred miles, several hours. And so the cab driver started getting tired and sleepy, and he was dozing off. And so the guy says, listen, pull over, let me drive. But he was a real jokester. And so he gets in the guy's cab, and it was an automatic. And so he put it in reverse, thinking it was forward. And the cab driver's sitting right next to him, and so he steps on the gas and it starts going backwards. And the cab driver says, no, D for forward, D for forward, D for forward. Practical joker. But I got to tell you something, people. I wish I didn't have a reverse. I wish the only gears I had was forward. I got a pickup that's broke down at home and it has no reverse. I'm telling you, that's a wonderful thing for a Christian, not being able to look backwards. God says, be determined to see this new season come to pass in your life. The direction I want to go is forward. The direction that I want you to go in your own life, in your family's life, in this ministry is forward. It says forgetting, reaching forward to that thing that lies ahead. The direction that we've got to take, we choose that direction. I know the past can be painful. I know the past can leave so many serious scars and so many difficulties in our lives. But we have to choose to take the direction. We stand at literally the beginning of a new year. We get to kind of erase the 2018 and start all over with a new year. It's a wonderful thing that God does that in days, doesn't it? How many of you have ever got through with a day and you laid your head down on the pillow and said, man, I'm glad that one's over. I hope I don't have to relive it. Amen? The next morning, It's all over with. It's all gone. A whole new sunrise, a whole new set of circumstances to face. We choose the direction we go. We have to forget. And to forget means this, because I know some of you are sitting out there going, there's no way I could ever forget that happening in my life. There's no way that I could ever see that circumstance being forgotten about. I'm going to remember it till I die. So let's just say forget is this: no longer influenced or controlled by your past. That's forgetting it. Yeah, it's there. I did it. I was there. But I'm not going to allow it to control me. I'm not going to allow it to influence the way God has my life to go. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is one of my theme scriptures, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away. Listen to that. Old things have passed away. And you know, I got this idea whenever I first got born again and I got familiar with that scripture, that it was all the old bad things that had passed away. Y'all with me? I mean, all the stupid things, all the sins, all that had passed away in my life. But it doesn't say the old bad things. It says old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Things that we've got to forget. These things that Jesus Christ has put under the blood, and now He forgets about them. Let me just give you a few things that we have to forget. We've got to forget those past glories. Anybody ever have one of those great victories? You go, what are you talking about, Pastor? We can't. Whenever I ran the 100-yard dash in 3 minutes, that was one of my high school triumphs. I got a participation ribbon for it. Well, let me tell you what past glories do. They make us prideful. And that ain't good. We got to forget about guilt. Anybody ever have any guilt? I kind of feel guilty for not telling my wife I hit myself with a piece of wood out of the table saw. But I was scared she wouldn't let me go back out there. You see, past guilt, once our sin has been dealt with in confession, in repentance, then we move on. Are y'all there? I mean, once we stand up and we say, God, forgive me, it's over with. It's under the blood. And we just need to move on. So no more opportunity for the enemy to come to us, because it's the enemy that piles on guilt. Y'all, God does not bring about guilt in our lives. That's the enemy. So the next time repented sin comes back to your mind, folks, this is what you ought to do. You just ought to start praising God and giving God glory for His mercy, for His grace, for His forgiveness. And I got to tell you something. If you do that every time that past guilt starts coming up, that sin starts coming up. Oh, well, you did that and you did that. Whenever you start hearing that in your spirit, you just need to start praising God. Say, God, I just give you praise for your grace. I give you praise for your mercy. I give you praise for your forgiveness that has been poured out all over me, and you have made me clean. I got to tell you, the enemy will get tired of doing it after a while and he'll stop. You see, God's grace is going to take you and I through any circumstance of past sin. And Paul was the perfect example of that. He said, man, this one thing I've caught on to, the past needs to be in the past. So not only do we deal with those past glories, past guilt, but past grudges as well. Bitterness will control you. We have to trust God to handle these. We cannot hold on to bitterness. We can't hold on to bitterness. And again, this all goes back to determination. And that determination requires this one-time decision that's followed by a lifetime of discipline enforcing the decision. How many of you parents are liars? Just raise your hands quickly. Oh, no takers. Okay, well, let me make it a little bit more real for you. Has any of you parents ever done this before to your child? If you do that one more time, you are going to get it and get it big time. Okay, I used to tell them, I'm going to spank them, but that's not politically correct anymore. So now I just tell them, I'm going to shoot them. So anyway, I'm just joking. I really don't say that. I tell them that Meemaw's going to shoot them. So anyway, no, have you ever done that? Have you ever laid the law down to your child? If you do that one more time, it's over with. Finished. You've had it. Your day is coming to an end. And then 15 minutes later, there they are doing it again. And this is what you do as a parent. You say, I told you if you did that one more time, you were going to get it. And I'm telling you, if you do it again, you're really going to get it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And they go, well, I think I got a 3 or 4 more tries before I'm really going to get it. Kids are smart. See, what we have to be as parents is we have to be enforcers. If we tell them we're going to do it, we got to do it. Amen? No matter how tired we are, no matter how many times we've already beat them, if they do it again, you got to enforce the rules. Are y'all there with me? Because I'm telling you, if you give kids an inch, they will take 38.5 miles. They'll come to a conclusion, hey, Mom doesn't mean it. Dad doesn't mean it. He's just bluffing. See, whenever we make a decision and we are determined that we are not going to let our past pull us down anymore, that we have to make that decision and we have to enforce that decision. We have to enforce that decision because what happens is, okay, I'm not going to let it, it's not going to affect me. I'm going forward. I'm going into this new season. But the first time that the enemy comes to you and he begins to drill down and drill down and drill down and beat down and beat down. Folks, this is whenever you have to enforce that decision. This is where you have to say, listen, I am going to walk in the newness of life that Christ Jesus has given me. I am going to take full advantages of all of these promises that he has given me. I am moving into a new season. I am not going to let my past take a hold of my future. Change what God has for me. I am moving forward. You have to enforce the rules. The direction that we choose is to go forward. The direction that we choose to focus on is reaching forward, reaching for that goal. And we've got to continue to look towards that goal. And that goal is everything that is in Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, all that he has promised. And folks, in John 10, he makes this amazing statement that he's given us life and he brings us this life more abundantly. And I am pursuing that more abundant life. Amen. I want that in my own life. I want to do it continually. I don't ever want it to stop. And the amazing thing about God is he enables us to cover up the past, to forget the unforgettable. Are y'all there with me? To forget it. To no longer will it have any bearing on my life. Yes, it was horrible. Yes, it was terrible. Yes, it was life altering. But it has long since gone, and I am not going to allow it to alter my life one more second. You see, God surrounds us with his love and he shouts to us. He says, your past is forgiven. Listen to us. With his love, he comes to us and he says, your past is no more. It's forgiven. It's all under the blood. I've redeemed you by grace. Do you know how much peace there is in forgetting the past? And again, remember, it's not about, it's going to be wiped from your mind. But it's going to be it comes to a place where it no longer controls you. It no longer dictates your future. Do you realize how much peace there is in that? That you can just settle down and go, you know what? Man, there was a lot of blunders, a lot of mistakes, a lot of stupidity. There were a lot of bloopers, a lot of errors. But man, they are under the blood. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. In Hebrews 10, it says, "In their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more." Gives us a way to move forward. It gives us a way to begin anew, to move forward in that He has for our lives, to move into this new season. And I don't know about you all, but personally speaking, I'm tired of winter and I'm really ready for spring. And I'm not talking about this physical, natural season. I'm talking about a spiritual season. I think sometimes we're too passive in our Christian walk. It's just the past. It's there. You know, yeah, I've got to deal with it every once in a while. You know, there's times it comes up. It gets me feeling really blue. And sometimes I just, you know, it's my past. Yeah, it's my past. I think we're just too passive about it. I think sometimes we got to take authority. Are y'all there? We got to keep that forward focus so that we'll be able to motivate and persevere and keep going in Jesus Christ. We've got to be able to press towards that goal. So this morning I want to end on a couple of things. These are just little ideas that helps us to keep focus. Number one, make God's goals your own. Make God's goals your own. Be honest about where you are in your Christian walk. You know, be honest. Hey, I'm not there. My past really supersedes so many things I believe God has for me. Just be honest. But then ultimately come to a place where you align your goals with the goals that God has for your life. That's the whole bottom line here. Folks, I believe there's more. Listen to me. I believe there's more. There's more for you as an individual. There's more for you as a family. There's more for this ministry. There's more for the body of Christ as a whole. There's more. But we've got to understand that God has these goals set for our lives. He has created us and He has a plan for our lives. And so we have to align ourselves with God's goals for our lives. So we got to make God's goals our own. The next one is, you got to keep a forward focus all the time. Now, back in high school, whenever I run the 100-yard dash in 3 minutes, you didn't see me looking over my shoulder much at who was coming up behind me, because there was no time for that in a race like I was racing. Are y'all there with me? You see, the race that you and I are running, there is no room for us to run and constantly look over our shoulders. We have to have a forward focus all the time. I'm going through. I'm going through. I'm having what God says I can have. I'm going to do what God says I can do. I'm going to be the man of God that God has called me to be. Amen. Forward focus. But remember whenever you decided that last year and last January 1, you were so pumped, and by January the 3rd, you had abandoned all of your hopes. That's allowing your past to control your future. And so we got to keep forward focused. I don't want to turn around and look. I don't want to look back at all of those missteps. I don't want to look back at all of those times where I failed. We got to keep a forward focus. And one of the things that helps us is to get rid of the distractions in our lives. Forget about what's behind us and go towards that is in front of us. Press towards that goal to win the prize. Number three, don't lose ground in your walk with Jesus Christ. All of you ever heard the story about the snail that was in the bottom of a well? It's 30 foot deep. So the snail decides he's going to crawl out of that well. So every day he would crawl 3 feet up out of that well. And every night whenever he went to sleep, he would slide back down in his snail slime 2 feet. And so the question is, how long did it take the snail to get out of the well? He climbed 3 feet by day, slid back down 2 feet by night. How long did it take him to get out of the well? 27 days, exactly, because he crawled 3 feet on the last day. I knew I shouldn't have said that. Now y'all are out there going, what? 30 days. I don't want to be like that snail. If I make 3 feet up, I want to hold that 3 feet. Are you all there with me? I want to anchor myself where it is that I've got to. I don't want to lose ground. I don't want to retreat. I want to go where God wants me to go. But too often we find ourselves get a little nervous whenever we start making progress, and all of a sudden we turn tail and run the opposite direction. So make God's plans your own. Keep forward focus all the time, and don't lose ground in your walk with Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes 3, I want to read this to you. This is one of those scriptures that it's so perfect. The writer of this book, he was pretty awesome. It says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, I want to end by saying this. Not only do I believe that God is bringing us into a new season, that there is going to be a season of remarkable blessing upon the lives of the individuals in this ministry and the lives of the families in this ministry. But I believe that also there's going to be a time of tremendous blessing for this ministry as a whole. I believe that he's done a lot of preparation in the years past with various things that this church has undertaken. And I believe that indeed 2019 holds enormous possibility. But there has to be a decision made by not only myself as a pastor, not only you as an individual, you as a family, us as a corporate body of believers. There has to be a decision and a determination made that we will not allow the past to affect our future. Sometimes I think the past is a little tiny dictator, you know? Little tiny dictator that just jumps out at these various times and dictates the course of our lives. We cannot fall prey to our past any longer. This one thing, the Apostle Paul says, I got, and I got it good. Don't let the past dictate your future. Forget the past. The amazing thing is, I'm not by myself here. Every person in this room has a past. Even these youngsters on the front pew, they got a past. It's short, but it's a past. And some of it's been real mean, taking pictures of your pastor and putting stuff on his ears. And then putting it on Facebook is even meaner. But that's all right. I love them anyway. All of us have a past. But the decision has to be made. Are we going to allow that past to dictate our future? To affect our future? To have bearing on what God has for us? Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the power that is in your word, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the redeeming grace, Father, that you have poured out upon us, Lord. And Father, this morning I pray over every person in this room, Lord, that each of us, Lord God, would find a peace that comes from forgetting.